Who took the
immediately.
Hi everybody, welcome back to Export Audio. I'm Autumn. I'm joined as always by my wife Nora.
One of those things will be true tomorrow. I will be Nora.
What are you saying?
Keep peeking my audio and see what happens.
Mwah. Mwah, mwah.
What episode is this?
Fuck you.
You're texting on the podcast.
I had typed a text. I forgot to hit send. You gotta export. Yeah. This is episode
175. Well, 176. It's 176.
Okay.
Because 175 is already scheduled, and I'm not gonna edit it.
Yeah.
So this is 176.
No, this may come out before 175.
This happened last month, too.
Yeah.
Slurp that Sprite.
I'm sorry, I took a damn sip!
We run a professional organization around here.
We're recording in a slightly different spot right now. My plan is to get some like sound baffling here soon, but we're a little echoey today, sorry.
I'd like to record not standing on the walls next time. I prefer sitting down. This sort of like halfway bat situation is not doing it.
You're not into the halfway bat sitch?
No.
Half bat?
I don't like HBS. I don't like half batting. What did we do last night? We went to bed. And we had a conversation.
Here's
and you revealed one fact about yourself to me. I will not allow you to badmouth me. What information did you reveal to me last night while we were having a conversation about movies?
I'm not going to badmouth you. I'm going to tell on myself.
Okay.
I came home from doing Coffee and Comic Books at Nia's place because Nia was guesting on Coffee and Comic Books. I got home and I went and played a little Balatro on the computer.
Asterisk.
What's the asterisk?
The asterisk is on the word little.
It was 45 minutes. That's not very much Balatro.
For you, that's not very much Balatro. That's true. got a little something on your monitor over there.
Yeah, I keep meaning to get this. It's been there for like 2 or 3 days. It's some cum.
Jesus. I don't believe you. Sort of logistically speaking, much less aerodynamically speaking.
Yeah.
You're lying to me on the podcast. But go on, continue telling on yourself.
So, I'm playing...
It's not showing up, but surely it's audible.
It's gotta be. Come on, bro. I guess we're just podcasting with this happening.
Just think of it like a radiator.
The problem is that it's distracting me.
If we were streaming right now, we wouldn't be able to just turn it off.
That's true. I've been thinking about streaming some.
Mm-hmm. Let's not get sidetracked. You were telling on yourself.
Oh, right, yes.
It's over.
It is over, thank you.
You played Balatro.
I've played Balatro. Played about 45 minutes of Balatro. You went to bed. And I kind of a little bit was like, let me stay up long enough for her to, like, fall asleep. So that... Because
how do you think that was going to happen? Exactly.
Okay.
Literally, whether it had anything to do with you or not, whenever I've gone to bed before you, have I ever been asleep when you got in the bed?
Someday it'll happen.
It doesn't happen.
Someday.
Not because I need you around to sleep.
You're the light... What?
But because even if I was getting close to sleeping...
You're a light sleeper. You're a light sleeper. Don't put this evil on me.
That's like saying, oh, you bruise easily after you beat the shit out of somebody. That's victim blaming. But you're trying to gaslight me on the podcast.
And then I ended up sleepy enough that, like, 15, 20 minutes after you went to bed, I also went to bed. And you still had, like, the light on and you were watching TikTok, so...
Yeah.
And the reason was that every time the both of us get into the bed, I think, ah, now is time for sleeping. And Nora thinks, ah, now is time to have a conversation.
Autumn hates spending time with me so much that she would rather listen to fucking who knows what audiobook this week.
Today I was listening to Fauna play Minecraft.
Cool.
I don't hate spending time with you. I just don't think that 1:30 in the morning is the time to strike up a conversation. We had a very good conversation.
Counterpoint. If I tried to strike up a conversation during your 45 minutes of Balatro, you know what you would have done?
You know what I did do?
You would have gotten irate.
I did get irate.
You would have become the angry video game nerd.
I did become the angry video game nerd. That's true. That did happen.
I literally went over and tried to give you kisses and love on you a little bit, and you said... The worst possible thing to happen in Balatro just happened to me.
I was making an Aces build. I was getting all the face cards out of my deck, and then I pulled a legendary Joker that gave me a huge buff to face cards, and I'm like, well, fuck. So, and I had sold one of my good Jokers to get this legendary one, and then just it was the legendary that like totally wrecked my build and I lost on the next round. It is what it is.
Furthermore, what did you reveal to me last night in bed?
I'd never heard of the film Equilibrium before.
Autumn had never seen fucking Equilibrium before.
The 2002 Christian Bale vehicle.
Yeah. And it's a fucking vehicle. It goes.
Chat, let me know. Have you ever seen the film Equilibrium starring Christian Bale? Because I don't think that this is a well-known...
Oh, it is. I think everybody has seen Equilibrium.
All right, let me go back to Letterboxd here.
Pull up Equilibrium. I bet there's like a 2-star review from one of our dear friends.
Here's what I'm going to do.
Type in Equilibrium.
I'm on the page for 2002 movies, sorted by popularity.
How about you type in Equilibrium so we don't prolong the fucking bit? Do you think it's critically acclaimed?
No, I just think that no one's seen this movie.
Let's scroll down a little bit. Let's scroll down. Oh!
394 fans.
What does that mean?
3.3. I don't know. People who gave it a 3-star or higher review, perhaps. People just who watched
it. People who watched it and logged it on Letterboxd.
So there are 394 people who have logged this film on Letterboxd.
Now, did our friend here give it a rating? No.
Curly watched it 6 years ago.
And it looks like... Oh, there's a review from Autumn Blake. About the dog.
So was the dog just living in their apartment and the kids decided not to comment on it?
Yes, that's correct. we should have thought about Aeon Flux. I've never seen that one, but...
I don't remember the difference between Aeon Flux and Ultraviolet. They get blurred.
Ultraviolet is vampires.
What's Aeon Flux?
I don't know.
I thought it was vampires. Go click on Aeon Flux.
No, Aeon Flux is not vampires. It's cyberpunk.
Okay. Well, I thought Ultraviolet
400 years into
vampires.
The future, disease has wiped out a majority of the world's population except one walled city, Bregna, ruled by the Congress of Scientists. When Aeon Flux, the top operative in the underground Monacan Rebellion, is sent on a mission to kill a government leader, she uncovers a world of secrets. A single vampire.
Oh, Charlize Theron's mm-hmm. Ultraviolet. No.
No.
Is her name Aeon Flux?
I think so.
Meanwhile,
Ultraviolet, the blood war is on.
We should have put the island on this graph. We should have.
In the late 21st century, a subculture of humans who have emerged who have been modified genetically by a vampire-like disease, giving them enhanced speed, incredible stamina, and acute intelligence. As they are set apart from normal and healthy humans, the world is pushed to the brink of worldwide civil war aimed at the destruction of the diseased population. In the middle of this crossfire is an infected woman, Ultraviolet, who finds herself protecting a 9-year-old boy who has been marked for death by the human government as he is believed to be a threat to humans.
I thought that this was Cyberpunk Blade. Am I incorrect?
This is the most CG background movie. You know what I mean?
Which is saying something, because Equilibrium, same director as Ultraviolet.
And writer.
Which
I thought was crazy.
Your review of Ultraviolet. The first half of this movie is 4 stars, but I think they wrote the second half as it was happening.
It's, you know what? Only two of our friends.
You and M.
Yeah, have watched it. We both gave it 2 stars.
This movie has 55 fans on Letterboxd. More than 55 people have logged Ultraviolet on Letterboxd, surely.
I don't know. The important thing is Equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
The movie poster has, he looks like John Travolta.
He does look like John Travolta.
Crazy about Christian Bale's jawline in this movie.
There's something about how Christian Bale, not all the time, but every now and then there's a shot that catches him at a weird angle and he looks like a different person entirely.
There's also that one shot where Sean Bean looked like Chris Pine was dying.
I thought he looked like someone else. This bit really
died. The bit really died because I was going to be like,
it was an older actor. It was like an 80s actor, I want to say. You know,
Dan Aykroyd.
No, I'm not. Let's move on. The horse is already dead.
What is the plot of Equilibrium?
Well, as you described it to me last night, it's the one meets THX-113A.
We
were talking about the one, and then you brought up Equilibrium, but you said it's the Matrix meets, you said what if THX-113A was influenced by the Matrix?
Yes.
Which is just correct. That is, that is exactly what is happening in the film.
It is the exact same plot as THX, but with more action scenes and that really cool katana thing. What if THX had a white dude with a katana?
He takes his face off. Listeners, I did the motion. I hope you all did the motion. Man, Face Off is so good.
Man, Equilibrium is so good.
Okay, Christian Bale is playing Grammaton cleric John Preston. After the end of World War II, the world was...
After the end of World War III, it was decided that humanity could not survive a fourth.
Yes. So there is a
You can see the globe in this movie, and all the continents are different.
There is a new world order where... That is like a... It is a fascist, quote-unquote, regime. But it, like, there's a lot of, like, imagery of Stalin and imagery of Hitler, because they're both just fascist dictators in the imaginary of the film.
Lots of brutalism.
Yes, lots of brutalism, concrete.
Scary concrete stairs.
They functionally have a, like, the country's flag is functionally a swastika.
But also it's made of crosses.
It's like a plus with, like, serifs on the end. And
but they don't connect.
In a white circle.
It's four T's for the tetragrammaton.
Yeah, it's four T's. And then it's in a white circle, and then the flag is red. Christian Bale, John Preston, is a grammaton cleric. His job is, he's going around. The way that they've eliminated war, the way that they've eliminated violence, quote-unquote, is people take this drug called Prozium. They don't have feelings anymore. No one is allowed to feel things. Having feelings is a crime. And so he's going around enforcing this. His sort of two principal things that he does to enforce this are, one, arrest and Judge Dredd's.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a Judge Dredd.
He's a Judge Dredd in that, like, he has the authority to kill with impunity. And sometimes he brings people in as prisoners, and it's kind of just whatever the writers decide is convenient in that moment. The other thing he's doing is he burns artworks.
The first scene has him look down at the Mona Lisa. A guy scans it with a little contraption.
And it goes, enhanced.
Wood, oil,
a canvas. 1485 or whatever.
Confirmed, verified.
Yeah.
It's real. And he says, burn it. And then from either side, two guys in big fuck-off, like, biohazard suits and flamethrowers come in and torch the Mona Lisa. And there's, like, a snap zoom out to show them. Yeah. And that's when you realized a little bit of what you were in for.
Well, I did realize it before this, because...
when I mentioned that the art was illegal?
Well, no, because... The thing that happens before this is that he kills all those guys, and so what happens is that him and Sean Bean are buddy cops. I got bad news about what happens to Sean Bean in film, by the way.
Right, he has to do his poppy arms.
Christian Bale and Sean Bean, they're partners, and they're raiding this place. There's all these people hiding this artwork. And Christian Bale's going to go in and kill him. So they're like, all the bad guys, quote unquote, all the resistance people are behind this door and they've got machine guns. And Christian Bale kicks in the door, The riot police shoot out the lights, and he, like, stands in
He slides on the door.
Slides on the door.
Into the room, and all the lights go out.
And he's just standing in the center of the room, and no one thinks to...
They shoot him for a little while, then the lights go out.
Yeah.
And then there's silence. And they're like, do you think we got him? Shh!
And then, he does... And we get some lore about what Gun Kata is. Oh, there it goes again. There's our buddy. We get some lore about Gun Kata as he's going, pew, 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 pew. And it's just like, it's very visual, but like...
His arms kind of like morph to the next position as if by CG.
He's doing the fucking robot.
Weep, 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 weep. Well, when he's walking through that hallway at the end and he's like, shoot out to either side, cross his guns to either side again, cross, like, arms straight out, arms folded to shoot in opposite directions.
Uh-huh.
It's silly.
It's silly.
Beep.
Stop.
Beep. Beep.
Beep. So, Sean Bean, like, smuggles out this copy of, the poetry of Yeats. Yeats? Yeats!
And notably, it does get twice as thick later on in the movie, because in the scene in the car, it's in his pocket, his, like, jacket pocket, and it's, like, a small book.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's holding it in the church, it's, like, the size of a Bible.
Yeah, and he's, like, sitting in the church, he's reading it, and Christian Bale's like, I know you've been having feelings, and pop, pop, you know.
And then he reads poetry to him, and then Christian Bale kills him.
Yeah. But he read poetry to him, and now Christian Bale might be catching feelings.
You know?
Might be catching feelings.
It happens
feelings.
Sometimes when a man kills another man.
Exportod.io/ornate stairwells.
And I would love for that car alarm to go away.
I would love to throw it into Lake Michigan.
That's what, you know, all the fishes would love the car battery. As a little treat. Thank you.
For now. Wait.
Hold. Also, the resistance guy that we see first in the movie, who gets got pretty quickly, is Dominic Purcell.
Yeah.
That's just fun.
That's
for
fun.
Me. That's my Prison Break guy. He's not my favorite Prison Break guy. My favorite Prison Break guy shows up later in this movie.
He's my favorite Legends of Tomorrow guy. Or my second favorite Legends of Tomorrow guy. After the other Prison Break guy.
Wentworth Miller, Chris Redfield.
Thank you. I couldn't remember his fucking name.
Yeah, he plays Chris Redfield in the...
Does he really?
Fourth Resident Evil film?
Okay. I've never seen those Resident
Evil movies.
I think
also the fifth. Yeah, that's on the list now.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the first thing we do for franchise, but...
Yeah, we have a thing that we want to do for franchise coming up soon.
It involves both live action and anime, so look forward to that.
Highlander again.
No! Thank you!
I don't think there's a dollar amount
there
that
is.
Gets me... There's a dollar amount, but it's very high, that gets me to watch Highlander 3 again. Or was Highlander 3... No, Highlander 2 is the good one. Highlander 3 is one of
Highlander
the
Highlander 3
films.
Is the worst movie in the world. Highlander 4 is really good.
Yeah. Highlander 4 is the best one.
Yeah. Anyway.
From here on, we don't need to go into as much detail. We kind of got the setup.
I love the one where they have the shotguns aimed at him. He spins them around in their hands, grabs the trigger, and like... For a second, it cuts to each guy's face and shit! Fuck! Hello? Are we good? I think we're good.
Do you want to just... Alright, I guess let's just roll with it. Listeners, we're having an extremely coarse recording session. I caught it, like, immediately, but Nora did get, like, cut off in the middle of that last sentence, and Audacity just kind of, like, stopped recording.
Audacity heard me say fuck and said, no.
I wanted to give you, like, a clean take to pretend like nothing happened, but then we just kind of...
No, I'm not going to recreate that.
No.
If you want to hear my thoughts about the video game Fear, you can turn into the,
Are you getting Molly to play Fear?
Yeah!
I'm going to
purchase an Xbox 360 disc of the video game Fear and put it into my Xbox Series X and play it.
Why wouldn't you just
get it from, like, the store, the...
It's not on the store.
But if you did pop the disc in, it would work.
Yes, that's my understanding.
Why would that be?
Because it's backwards compatible, but they don't have it on their storefront.
Oh, okay.
Fear 2 is there. You can purchase Fear 2 okay. digitally.
Wait, hold up. First Encounter Assault Recon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or fuck everything and run. I had a pretty good pitch for a sequel reboot of the Fear series called 4, as an acronym, because there was 3 of them, which would be Frontal Operations Underworld Recon, where you go into the ghost dimension and have ghost powers.
Okay.
Because you would play as the baby from Fear 3, grown up, as like a super soldier.
Naturally.
Of course.
There's
a baby, there's a pivotal baby in Fear 3.
I know about the baby from Fear 3.
Yeah. Well, it's at the end of Fear 3.
Oh, I thought the whole
It's a co-op game, and you play as the villain from the first game and the protagonist from the first game, and whoever scores a higher point value by the end of the game is who gets to parent the child, and that determines whether they become good or evil.
I thought it was like, are you parenting like the... God. Damn it.
You're not parenting the baby as you go.
Is it like Baby Alma, though? Is that it?
It's Alma's baby. It is not Baby Alma.
Okay. Is she supposed to be like a Ju-on girl?
Sometimes. Okay. She was at the time when the freaky shit happened to her, but she is an adult now.
Okay.
But she, her like psychic projection of herself is of the little girl when she was subjected to the freaky psychic shit.
Okay, although the atmosphere of the game was heavily influenced by J-horror, Monolith's primary goal with Fear was to make the player feel like the hero of an action film.
Yeah, that's why you have reflex time.
Yeah.
Also, you know what the main character's name is? Point Man. He doesn't have a name.
You know, it's really...
He's just the Point Man.
Props to me for having Alma just right up here. Just
I know her name. Last name?
No.
Alma Wade.
Alma Wade to what?
I'm going to sink my hand so deep into your stomach, it's going to come out the other side.
So Christian Bale... so that's basically like the first act of the movie, and then Christian Bale gets a new partner, and him and his partner are like cracking down on the resistance, but Christian Bale is like starting to have more feelings. He makes contact with the resistance. Ultimately, he saves the day and kills like the God King guy, he kills the president to bring back a society of feelings. And it turns out that his kids were actually not taking the feelings medicine the whole time. So
not since the mom died.
Yeah, not since the mom died. So, like, there's a lot of other really good stuff.
But also, he falls in love with Sean Bean's wife.
Yeah. Named Mary O'Brien, which is... Which is kind of like one of those like NES baseball game names for a woman, you know?
I think that's a real name.
I think so too. I just think it's like Irish.
Is it any crazier than John Preston?
John Preston won.
Sean Bean was Errol Partridge.
In a pear tree?
Tay Diggs was just Brant. We don't get a full name on Brant.
Yeah. And so, I'm glossing over the plot summary because the plot is pretty, like, rote. But, like, the movie is a fucking hoot. This movie is so stupid.
I got confused.
You thought Emily Watson was Emma Watson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did think, wait, what? That doesn't make any goddamn sense.
No, considering she doesn't look anything like Emma Watson at all.
I mean, you know, there was filters in this movie. I was like, oh, maybe. And then I was like, wait a second, this is 2002. That doesn't make any goddamn sense. I don't know this person from anything.
I didn't think about that, how also Emma Watson was like 12 when this movie came out.
Yeah, I don't see any other movie here. I've seen one I've heard of, which is Corpse Bride, but I have not seen any of them.
You've heard of Red Dragon.
I have not. Kingsman: The Golden Circle. Okay, no, I haven't seen Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
Red Dragon is like the third or fourth Hannibal movie.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I haven't seen any Hannibal movie.
You should watch the television show Hannibal, IMO.
I am not going to do that.
I just think you should.
Okay. You're allowed to think that. I think you should watch Ultraviolet.
Well, where can people find it? No, this movie is a lot of fun. There's... I really got hung up on a lot of plot holes in this movie.
Why?
And, like, I don't usually get hung up on plot holes. For me, it was part of the fun of, like, trying to pick away at the logic of this, like...
It's like pointing out the suit effects in Death Kappa.
Right, yeah. It's like, the movie's not even attempting to make sense. The movie is not, like... It is so deeply unconcerned with this that it was kind of fun to be like, oh, well, where'd the dog go for the next 30 minutes of the movie? We're gonna get so canceled. First, we were talking about how it's funny when that kid blows himself up with dynamite. The funny...
In Fist of the North Star.
In Fist of the North Star. In this movie, the funniest scene...
They find a big yard full of dogs, and the cop guy says... These animals were being protected by women and children. We put them down easy. Which, crazy.
Yeah.
And then the guy goes in with a shotgun.
Wait. Tay Diggs is like, why do you think they even had these dogs?
Did they eat them?
Did they eat them?
And then the enforcer guy goes in and goes, boom! 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 All the while, we're slowly zooming in on Christian Bale's face as he flinches at every gunshot. Beautiful filmmaking.
the sadness of the dogs as they die. Well, it also, it like creates a movie where like all bets are off, where I briefly thought, because one, the main love interest dies. And two, there's a scene where they kill, like, six dogs.
But they don't kill the main dog that likes him.
Yeah, there's, like, one dog that you actually... Because this is all off-screen. He's, like, pointing a gun and there's sound effects. But then there's one dog that runs up to John Preston.
And licks his face.
And licks his face. And he's like, oh, I gotta get this thing tested for rabies. I'm taking it back to the lab.
And then he puts it in his trunk and wraps his jacket around it.
Yeah. And this leads to a scene later where he has to kill a bunch of guys because they find out he's harboring a dog and they're gonna kill him and the dog, and he has to go pew 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 pew.
It's mathematically precise.
It's mathematically,
it's optimized gunfighting.
Can I read you this sentence from the Wikipedia page for Gunkata?
Uh-huh.
Or not. So
see also Gunfu.
There's a section on the page for Equilibrium about Gunkata. The Gunkata shown in Equilibrium is a hybrid of Wimmer's own style of Gunkata invented in his backyard. Could you click on that little citation, that little five there for me? Thank you.
Oh, it's from the DVD commentary!
Oh, shit, we gotta find this DVD. Were we gonna buy a DVD?
I'm fine with that.
Let me just, Amazon.com. Can you click the search bar for me? Equilibrium 2002. Prime Video. More purchase options, maybe. No.
Maybe if we search in movies.
Oh, wait. Video format, Universal Media Disc?
Oh, a UMD? You go. Ooh, buddy, you can get Equilibrium on your PSP!
Oh, there's Blu-ray. I don't know why it's not. Didn't show us Blu-ray before, but.
You want to pay $35 for an Equilibrium Blu-ray?
Only five left.
In Imported stock. From Spain? Or do you want to pay $15 for a VHS of Equilibrium?
All of the above. Oh, there's a...
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Equilibrium, $12.
That's not too bad. $16 to get a DVD/Blu-ray combo pack.
We don't need that. Nobody's ever needed that.
No. I bought like a bunch of those back in the day, thinking I would need them. I never needed them.
Digital movie included. Watch anywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good movie.
Good movie. Wait, oh. Blu-ray, digital HD with ultraviolet. I'm assuming...
That's the service.
That's the, yeah, the streaming service,
it's
ultraviolet.
It's not a bundle of Equilibrium and ultraviolet.
No.
All I'm saying is that the trashy sci-fi movies from when I was 12 years old are much better than the trashy sci-fi movies from when you were 12 years old. And I don't mean you as an autumn, I mean you the listener.
I don't know. I think that's true for anybody younger than us, and true for most people older than us.
I'm just going to get yelled at if I say what the comparison I was thinking, so...
No.
I will not... I just think the Equilibrium kicks the shit out of the Fifth Element.
I've never seen the Fifth Element, so...
It does have Mila Jovovich in it.
You don't like Bruce Willis.
I don't.
Famously.
I don't.
I've never seen it, so I have no dog in this fight.
I don't like it. I don't like Fifth Element.
What is Dark City? I know it's like a...
I don't know.
It's like a movie that, like, I know, like, some people we're friends with really like Dark City, but I don't actually know what it is. Kiefer Sutherland's in it. I'll basically watch any movie with Kiefer Sutherland that came out before 2015.
Amazon is not a good place to find a synopsis of this.
No. I think it's like a cyberpunk movie, maybe?
You've been on this Wikipedia page.
1998 neo-noir science fiction film. Sounds like it would be up my alley.
Directed by this person.
Alex Proyas.
Director of iRobot and Knowing?
What's Knowing?
Oh, you don't know Knowing?
I don't know Knowing.
Stylized as No One-ing.
What?
It's the one where Nicolas Cage has to interpret numbers that detail every mass death in the human history in order to alter the future and prevent people from dying.
Is this like a December 21st, 2012 movie?
This is a March 20th, 2009.
No, remember how people thought the world was going to end on December 21st of 2012?
It might be. But it has a crazy ending.
Did you think the world was going to end?
No.
I didn't think so either.
I was like... What age was I? 12 plus 7? 19?
I was... I guess I would have been 16 then. Yeah, I would have been 16. I knew people who were, like, convinced.
There's always someone who's convinced.
Also, he directed Gods of Egypt. And Spirits of the Air, Gremlins of the Clouds. What is this?
I don't know.
Independent post-apocalyptic sci-fi adventure film, directed, produced, and written by Alex Proyas, making his first feature debut.
A post-apocalyptic world in which two siblings live in a homestead whose silence gets interrupted by a fugitive named Smith.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'd watch this.
I would watch this, sure.
Anyway.
Why did we start talking about this?
I don't know. I just saw the phrase Spirits of the Air, Gremlins of the Clouds, and I was like, what the fuck is that?
Tag yourself. you want to... This just reminded me of... Do you want to tell the people how I completely showed my ass yesterday, too? You said something about the Memento... You said something about Memento being the Matrix. Because we decided that every...
No, I said that the Memento is a Curse of the Black Pearl.
Okay. Because we've realized that every 2000s movie can be categorized as either...
Every movie of the 21st century.
Yes. Can be categorized as either The Matrix or Curse of the Black Pearl. And you said, you mentioned Memento. I'm like, that Memento doesn't count. It's from like 1993.
Insane.
Dear listener, Memento is not from 1993. Memento did not come out before Pulp Fiction. What was I fucking talking about?
Memento did not come out before 9/11. That might not be true.
Yes, it did. Even if it came out in, like, October, like, it was made before 9/11.
Oh, sure. 2000 film.
Scroll down. What's
published in 2001.
Okay, premiered September 5th, 2000, came out, you know, wide release.
Came out March 2001.
Okay. What else has Guy Pearce been in?
Who the fuck is Guy Pearce?
I'm trying to remember who Guy Pearce is. He's a name
I know. That looks like Thanos to me.
That's Josh Brolin.
Yeah, but this guy looks like he's got a Thanos face. He's got a Thanos mouth.
I was trying to read, but fuck me, I guess.
I'm scrolling down to what you really want, which is the list of movies.
Yeah, but, like, the one at the top has the one movies he's known for.
King's Speech?
Oh, he's Peter Weyland in Prometheus. He's under all the makeup.
He's under all the makeup. Iron Man 3, he's Aldrich Killian.
Who is that?
A supervillain. He was in Equals.
He was uncredited in Alien Covenant? Come on, bro.
Well, it's a spoiler.
Oh, is it?
I think.
We told the people about Duelists, right? The Duelists?
Did we?
We were talking about the Duelists.
I think we did.
Something.
Yeah, on, Fisty.
Fisty. I gotta go, after this, I gotta go to, what's it called? I gotta go to a comic book store to get, Fisty Volume 8.
Yeah, I don't know any other more of these.
No.
Is that it? Is that the shortest export we've ever recorded?
I guess so, just because I feel like we got a lot of the tangent energy out on Fisty this week. You mm-hmm. know? Fisty ran a little long, but so I think
it was like an hour 40, and I was very tired.
Was it an hour 40?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
I believe you.
No way, but I believe you. But no way.
We made a graph. Do we want to tell the people about this visual piece of media that we made?
You know what? Let's just make it the episode art.
We'll make it the episode art.
Just export it like this and then scrunch it into a one by one.
Yeah, this is a little... We made a graph that on the vertical axis you have gay to straight, and on the horizontal you have Curse of the Black Pearl to the Matrix. And so, like, our gayest Curse of the Black Pearl film is Pacific Rim. Also in that neighborhood is Spider-Man 3 and Revenge of the Sith.
Don't spoil the whole chart.
I'm not going to spoil the whole chart, but, you know, like... I'll tell you that, like, Equilibrium fell on in the, like, bottom right corner as the straightest Matrix movie.
I do think that Riddick should have been straighter than you ended up putting it, but it's fine.
Yeah. I think Face Off would be a little more... Face Off ended up pretty gay, and I feel like it really should be, like, kind of right on the line. But I didn't for, like, purposes of... legibility of the graph, and also it's funnier to call Face Off gay.
He wants to jerk his face off.
We didn't. I mean, you mentioned it briefly, but we didn't talk about. So the final action scene.
Yeah.
So there's a.
He does a cool flourish with the sword.
Earlier, sorry, I'm gonna back up a little. Earlier, there's a bit where Christian Bale and Taye Diggs have a really gay sword fight for no reason.
It's not that gay. Notably, what happens in that fight?
He
whacks him in the face, and then he takes his mask off.
Oh, he takes the mask off. Yeah. And so, like, basically because Taye Diggs is onto him, but doesn't have the evidence yet, and they're, like, sword fighting about it, and,
With
wooden swords. I forget what they're called.
I don't know.
Practice ones. Practice katana.
And then at the end of the movie, they're
Christian
both...
Bale is on his Batman Begins bullshit.
Yes, yes.
In that scene.
At the end of the movie, you think that there's going to be another big climactic, like, katana showdown, but with, like, sharpened blades this time instead of the practice ones. And it ends up lasting, like, 3 seconds because they, like, run at each other. And then, like, you get, like...
Remember, he takes his mask off at the beginning of that fight.
Yeah,
he takes... It doesn't last long.
No. And so, like...
So, in the same way...
Taye Diggs, like, is like, and then he turns around.
He falls to his knees. His guns fall from his waist. He drops to his knees, and then he looks over his shoulder.
And he's, like, in, like, full profile. And the front half of his face where the mask was before...
Just slides down.
Slides down in the worst CG in the fucking world.
It's great. It's just,
it's
like...
It's so good!
It's the same as Resident Evil.
I haven't seen that film.
I know.
The compositing in this movie is really something else. There's a lot
beautiful.
Of like, there's a lot of like establishing shots of the sci-fi city that are just like
graphics card commercial.
Yes, graphics card commercial meets trying to do matte painting aesthetic. It's like trying to look like a matte painting but with computers, and so it just looks bizarre.
Beautiful movie.
Stupid movie.
All right, everyone, give us your money for more podcasts.
Yeah. Exportaud.io.
Do you want to announce the franchise here? We can do that.
I mentioned on Coffee and Comic Books that we were making plans, but I didn't know if the plans were set in motion yet, so...
Well, we're preparing.
Mm-hmm.
We're making preparations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing my part. Are you doing your part?
I feel like you're referencing the film, but I don't get it.
Do you want to know more? Starship Troopers!
I guess, somehow I became a Paul Verhoeven freak.
You are the bitches.
Well, it's funny, too, because now we'll have done RoboCop and Starship Troopers for my podcasts with you, and we'll have done the other side of his career, Basic Instinct and Showgirls, like the erotic thrillery movies for Stairwells, you know?
Are you saying that RoboCop is not also an erotic thriller?
RoboCop is not an erotic thriller.
Goodbye, everybody. Look forward to us watching all of the Starship Troopers movies, which, yes, includes all of the anime filled. I think there's a trilogy.
I know you need to get going, but before we do, I just want to... Starship Troopers film, I want to see, like...
Scroll down to the bottom.
Like, is there going to be, like, one of those little drop-down thingies?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Starship Troopers 2, Heroes of the Federation, Starship Troopers 3, Marauder, Starship Troopers Invasion. I'm guessing that's one of the first anime.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's only two.
Okay, Starship Troopers Traitors of Mars, 2017.
You pluralized two titles here.
What?
It's Hero of the Federation and Traitor of Mars.
Okay. This is not that many movies.
It's
this
not
is very...
that. It's only five movies.
Oh, what's the OVA? What's the OVA?
It's an anime.
Well... I know that.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
There's an 80s Starship Troopers OVA?
Yeah. I've heard it's kind of boring.
Okay. I was like, should we watch that? It technically came out before...
That's not a movie.
I know, but like if it's...
The thing about this is that there's continuity between the actors in the live-action movies and voicing their characters in the anime.
No way.
Yeah.
Let me click on the OVA again for just 1 second. I'm not saying we're going to watch it. It's 6 episodes, 25 minutes each, so it's the length of War in the Pocket. It's like a 3-hour affair, I think, probably.
But, like, these ones, these are from 2012.
And 2017 was the second one.
Yeah. And then there's also, like, the TV show that I was not able to find any good footage of.
Lost media.
It is a very CG heavy series from 1997. No, what is it?
99.
So, you know, If they wanted to re-release it, they'd have to, like, remake it, basically.
Yeah, probably.
So I've seen some very, very bad quality, like, VHS rip stuff, but...
Should I read the book?
I heard that the book is boring. I'm sure we'll do it fascist, in anomalous that's... readings at some point.
Yeah.
But, regardless, bye everybody, I'm leaving.
You got a journal soon, so...
Yeah, I do.
I love you.
I hate you.
What the fuck? No, I'm not kissing you until you tell me you love
bye.
Me.
Bye.
The last.